Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live from Emory County, Utah, United States of America. We have a worldwide audience. So, anyway, we're going to be reading the third chapter of Translating and Revising Scripture. This will be part four. And the guest call-in number for Fundamentally Mormon is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Anybody can call in if they have a question or a comment. when you call in, if you do want to listen, you can just listen. But if you do have a question or comment, you'll have to push 1, and I will see your number up on the board, on the studio. So let's just get right into this today. Translating and Revising Scripture, part of chapter 4, or part 4 of chapter 3 of As It Is Translated Correctly by Ogden Kraut. You can read this for free for yourself online at ogdenkraut.com. Also, all of the texts for the for what I read today will be on Zion's Redemption Bookstore page on Facebook, as well as in LDS Gospel Mysteries, LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, and a couple of other groups that I admin or that I'm in. Topic 41: Loss of Original Sources. The vast majority of the errors in the New Testament occurred during the period that is also the most difficult to reconstruct, the first four Christian centuries. Much of the difficulty stems from the work of the earliest Christian copyists. In a time when the majority of people were illiterate and when Christianity periodically underwent severe persecution, there were probably few professionally trained scribes in the service of the church. Moreover, seldom were the scribes possessed by the spirit of the scribes of the later times, who worked according to the instructions of the Lord given in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, which states, quote, thou shall not add fish therefrom, which is actually, I guess you could broadly apply it to what you think the Bible should be, but that was actually given about the law of Moses or the instructions of Jehovah or the Torah. You should not add to or take away from the Torah, which unfortunately was done by King Josiah. I know he's held as a great king, but what he did was actually a really bad thing. He reinstated the Torah, which had been lost to them, but he added many things to Torah. He added thereto many things which he should not have added. He should not have added. There are many things in the Torah that do not come from God. They are the wisdom of Josiah and his counsels, and they're found in the book of Lehi, which I have a copy of. So, which I'm not. I've released some of that, but I'm not going to release it because it's just too deep for most people today. Very few people would understand the things that Lehi talks about. Maybe that's why Joseph Smith was allowed to lose that portion. Like, he had to know some things for himself. Some very important things are in the book of Lehi, things that Joseph Smith taught about in his later years. But it's like one of those sacred things that you don't just give to anybody. Anyway, continuing. They introduced thousands of changes into the text. To be sure, the majority of their errors were unintentional and are easily discernible slips of the eye, ear, or mind. Hundreds of changes in the text were, however, made intentionally. Yet, we should not think that these scribes of having acted from evil motives, if they often took many liberties in copying their text. Apparently, they did so in the most version of the Bible came out in 1611. There were about 40 added words just to help in the English understanding of the translation from the Greek. Well, over the years, just in the book of Matthew, I think it is, it's gone from like 40 or 50 words that they, and you can see these words, they're all over the place. They're in italics. Those italics, especially in the King James, were words that the scribes added to help with the understanding from Greek to English. However, in an effort to help out, Christian scribes between 1611 and 1870 added over 542 words just in the book of Matthew to help out, you know, to try to clarify the meaning or make it read a certain way, which they have to do that all by their own logic, right? Anyway, they were more interested in making the message of the sacred text clear than in transmitting errorless copies. Thus, early scribes, and sometimes later one, often smoothed out the Greek of the biblical writer by adding conjunctions, changing tenses of verbs, changing word order. They also tended to clarify ambiguous passages by adding nouns or pronouns, by substituting common synonyms for uncommon words, because there's like some words in Greek and Hebrew that do not translate into English, and sometimes it's difficult to actually get the point across that is in the original language. So, and sometimes even by rewriting difficult phrases. There are also some instances, and these are usually very important ones, where scribes have added or less often subtracted whole sentences or narratives in the interest of doctrine or completeness. Biblical criticisms, Harrison, pages 138 and 139. Let me see if I can okay, bring that back up. I have a copy of I'm not sure if it's on my phone or not, of the NIV and the changes that have been made. So the translators that wrote the NIV or translated the NIV, they actually did not believe in the deity of Yeshua, who the Gentiles called Jesus. And they actually took out many things that were in the King James Version that talked about the deity of Jesus. And actually, this has happened in the NIV, the NASV, the NCV, the NRSV, and the RSV verses that have been taken out, which are in the King James Version still, but removed from the NIV and these other ones, are Matthew chapter 21, verse 17, Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, Matthew chapter 23, verse 14, Mark 7:16, Mark 9:44, Mark 9:46, Mark 11:26, Mark 15:28, Luke 17:36, Luke 23:17, John 5:4, Acts 8:37, Acts 15:34, Acts 24. Verse 7, and Acts chapter 28, verse 29, and Romans chapter 16, verse 24. So, and that's just a small a small listing. So if you go and you look up those scriptures in the King James and you go over to the NIV, you're not going to find them because the people who translated the NIV did not believe in the deity of Yeshua or Jesus, and they removed verses that they did not agree with. Like, they just skipped over them. They're gone in those translations. So, and it's sad that people think that they can just trust the Bible for what it is, and no matter what I really like the NIV because it speaks in my own language, but you're losing actual verses in the scriptures because of the bias of the translators, which is sad. Anyway, continuing, there are also some instances, and these are usually very important ones, where scribes have added or less often subtracted the whole sentences and narratives in the interest of doctrine or completeness. I already read that. Had original manuscripts been available, scribes would probably not have taken so many liberties with their translations. Summary. Because there are so many manuscripts that disagree, so many different Bibles, and so many errors in them all, scholars have lost a certain confidence in any finished Bible. From the early Christian fathers to the modern intellectuals, they have voiced their extreme displeasure with the translators. For example, Augustine often had to attempt a justification of the many conflicting passages of the Bible. Origen wrote a large book trying to clarify many of the Bible's discrepancies. Neander, an excellent scholar, never even attempted to justify all the contradictions after noting so many. We're on page 40 of As It Is Translated Correctly. Many of our most recent Bible scholars of the Bible have written much concerning the glaring inconsistencies, self-contradictions, and manifest discrepancies of the Bible. A learned scholar, Moses Stewart, said the scriptures have discrepancies between different portions of them, which no learning nor ingenuity can reconcile. Sorry. I tried to do this radio show earlier, and my wife had a car problem, and I had to go rescue her. And now it is later, and I need to go to bed, so I'm kind of tired, but I'm going to finish this chapter today. So, Dr. Charles Hodge declared it would require a volume, but not a volume, but volumes to discuss all of the cases of alleged discrepancies. Orson Pratt referred to Bishop Usher's discouragement with all of the differences in the manuscript texts. In my hearing, Bishop Usher professed that whereas he had of many years before a desire to publish the New Testament in Greek with various lections and annotations, and for that purpose he had great diligence and spent much money to furnish himself with the manuscript scripts, yet in conclusion he was forced to desist utterly, lest if he should ingenuously have noted all the several differences of reading, which himself he had collected, sorry, the incredible multitude of them, almost in every verse, should rather have made men atheistical than satisfy them in the true reading of any particular passage. And quote, Exmo Cal 8, new, I don't even know how to read this reference. It was by Orson Pratt, and you can read that in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 28. As far back as 1659, William Kilburn wrote about the dangerous errors that had already been published in the Bibles. He claimed to have discovered 20,000 errors in 6 editions of the King James Version alone. See Cambridge History of the Bible, page 363. If anyone wishes to see some of the additions that have been inserted into the Bible, just turn to any page and notice the words printed in italics. These are words and phrases that the translators have added to the original text to help clarify or try to correct it. It is reported that from the year 1611 to 1870, the number of italicized words increased from 43 to 583 in the book of Matthew alone. End quote. See the Bible in America, page 97 by Marion Sims. Unfortunately, we have no original manuscript from which to obtain an absolutely correct version of the Bible. There are no earthly manuscripts from Asia Minor or Palestine from which the original sources would have come. The original Old Testament manuscripts were copied by hand for many generations on highly perishable papyri and animal skins in the relative damp, hostile climate of Palestine. Within only a few years, these original manuscripts were consumed to oblivion. As copies of copies were made by both learned and unlearned copyists, minor and major changes began to appear. Many scribes unintentionally made minor errors, then some made intentional errors by trying to correct what they thought was an error. Oh, we're almost done, so I am so tired. Variations accompanied almost every copy of as corrections or interpretations, as these corrections or interpretations began to appear. Later scholars have tried to sort and select which variations seemed most likely to agree with their own understanding of what the original writer intended. Hence, another reason for so many Bible versions in existence today. So that's page 42. And we've only been in this radio program for a little bit. We still have 12 minutes left on the live streaming. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. I'd just like to thank my viewers on both YouTube and Facebook. I appreciate it. I don't get to see live time on my radio show who's listening, but I can see it on Facebook and YouTube. So anyway, if we don't have any other callers or any callers at all, I will try to be back on tomorrow with Chapter 4 of As It Is Translated Correctly, and we will get into it at that time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Take care. Baruch Hashem, which is Hebrew for Blessed Be the Name of Yehovah. So, and I guess shalom. Thank you for watching. I'm going to head to bed now, so I'm going to end this program. I'll try to be back on tomorrow with another episode of Fundamentally Mormon. Take care, everyone. God bless, and goodbye.